Good morning. When I was growing up, my parents worked full-time jobs, and so I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, both at my mother's parents' house and also with my father's mother and her husband. When I spent time with my dad's side of the family, I tended to experience most of my life growing up in a sale barn in Richmond, Missouri. My grandmother ran the auction barn there in town, Reisinger's Auction Barn, if you've ever heard of it, and she ran the storefront of that property. And she had this amazing ability to go out and to find old and broken pieces of furniture and restore them back to life. And then she would sell them in the front of this storefront. And so my life was like, it was magic because the sale barn was just full of furniture from the floor to the ceiling. And it was like a great playground for me and my brother. But my grandmother, she didn't just get things to sell. Slowly over time, she just started collecting things. Things that were broken, that she never took time to fix. Things that she didn't need, or I'm sure, I don't even really know that she wanted them. But I don't know if you've ever seen the show Hoarders. Sometimes her house kind of, especially towards the end of her life, her house kind of started to look like that. She started to just acquire more and more stuff for no real purpose. And sometimes I think that this is true for many of us. We may not live like hoarders. Our houses may not be filled to the top with stuff. But sometimes I think we acquire things that we don't really need. Sometimes we don't even really want them, but we just have them. We just store up stuff. And our parable today speaks against this sort of behavior, about never having enough and just keep getting and getting and getting for ourselves. We are in the second week of our giving series where we are talking about Wesley's three simple rules. Wesley says there's three simple rules to the use of money. And the first rule we talked about last week, which is earn all you can. Then Wesley says save all you can. And lastly, give all you can. So this week, we're talking about that second rule, and Wesley's rule is save all you can. And so as I was reading this parable and reading Wesley's rule, in my mind, they seem to contradict each other a little bit, right? Because we're told, don't store up your treasures here on earth, right? Don't store up your grains in these towers, the parable says. Store up your treasures in heaven. And then Wesley turns around and says, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but save all you can, good Methodist people. But the more and more I studied this parable this week, and more I looked at Wesley's sermon, the more I realized they didn't contradict each other, but they complement one another. How many of you save at all? Anyone? Retirement account? Savings account, any sort of savings. Okay, so we're all saving, right? We're all storing up treasures for ourselves a little bit. I wouldn't think it would behoove us very much to take everything that we make and either spend it or give it away, right? That many of us, I hope, we don't live like that. There's a portion of our dollars that either we're forced to save by the government through our Social Security, right? Or our retirement accounts, or that we put away on our own. And I think when we read this parable, I don't think that is what Jesus is telling us not to do. We've been, as I said, looking at these three rules, and so I think we need to look a little bit at the beginning of John Wesley's life. because he's the one that gives us these rules as good Methodists, to earn, to save, and to give. And so Wesley began the Methodist movement back in the early 1700s in England. And Wesley very much believed in giving to the poor. And as I told you last week with his earnings, Wesley, at the beginning of his career, discovered he made, what, 30 pounds? And he discovered he needed 28 pounds to live. And by the end of his career, he was making 1,400 pounds. And guess how much he was still spending? 28 pounds, right? He never increased his spending just because he increased his earning. But Wesley didn't just take that excess and give it away. He also saved part of it, because he realized if he saved part of it, he could do more good. And I think that's part of what he is calling us to do today. And I think what this parable is also telling us. Because the main part of savings is so that you are able to buy things that last. That you are able to purchase things that can go on and on versus buying the very first thing that you can afford and then it breaking down, right? Buying junk versus buying quality. If we look at our parable, we have Jesus, and he's speaking to this crowd, and someone shouts out to Jesus. They recognize that Jesus is becoming more well-known, that Jesus has power to kind of convince people to do stuff. And so the guy in the crowd shouts out, "Teacher, I need your help. Teacher, I need you to tell my brother, tell him to divide the family inheritance with me." So he wants Jesus to tell his brother what to do. He wants him to intervene in his family business and make his brother give him some money. And Jesus says, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" He says, "Take care. I need you to be on guard against greed," because he realized that he's asking his brother to do this because he's greedy, because he wants money. And so then he tells them the parable. And in this parable, we learn that there's this rich man who produced in abundance. He was earning all he could. He had a ton of produce that he was able to store. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? I don't have a way to store my crops." And he said, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to tear down my barns that I already have, and I'm going to build larger ones. And then I can store everything that I have." And then he says, "I will say to my soul, you have laid up goods for years and years so that you can relax and so you can eat and so you can drink and so you can be merry." And so we learn here the problem is not that he is storing up. The problem is not that he is saving. The problem is why he is storing up and he is saving. He's not storing up so that he can help others, so that he can expand the kingdom of God. He is storing up for this purpose that he lays out, so that he can relax and eat and drink and be merry. When I was in seminary, I read an article about one of the greatest sins in our culture today is consumerism. This idea to get more and more and more. And as young people, we're often told to save for our retirement. But not save for our retirement so that we will be stable and that we can continue to live and make sure that we have enough for what we need to live and so that we can give. but often we're told to store up so that in the end we can relax and drink and eat and be merry. So that we can store up just for ourselves and not for others. And this is the nuance in the parable. It's not the danger in saving, it's the danger in why you are saving. In John Wesley's sermon, it's called The Use of Money, if you ever want to find it. All of John Wesley's sermons you can find online. But in his middle section where he says, save all you can, I want to read part of this sermon for you. It's really short, actually. He says, this is my second rule, to save all you can. He says, money is a precious gift. It should not be wasted on trivial things. Do not spend your money on luxury food, but be content with simple things that your body needs. Ornaments, too, whether it be in your house or your garden, are a waste, and they should be avoided. As I read this, I think to myself, oh, I'm already breaking Wesley's rules all of the time, because I like to eat fun food, I like fine dining, and I like to decorate my house. Anyone else? Okay, so I'm already breaking Wesley's rules all of the time. He says, do not spend in order to gratify your vanity or to gain admiration of others. I often wonder how many times we make a purchase specifically because we're trying to live up to someone's expectations, or because we're trying to make our home look like a Joanna Gaines magazine cover, right? He says, the more you feed your pride in this way, the more it will grow within you. And then he starts to talk about how to be a parent. I read an article this week that talked about why kids are so unhappy today. And then I looked at my own kids and I was like, oh, well, this is why. And it was because of instant gratification and entitlement. I don't know how many times our kids say, hey, mom, dad, I want this. And you know what we do? We just go buy it. Because we have the ability to. And I wonder how often we should take a step back and say, do you really need that? Or is it just something you want? And this is exactly what Wesley preaches about in the 1700s. He says, stop spoiling your children in this way. Fine clothes and luxury are a snare to them, just like they are to you. Why would you want to provide them with more pride and more vanity? They have enough already. This is like stabbing me in the heart this week as I'm preparing, because I realize these are the exact things that I do. And I'm pretty sure these are the exact same things my family warned me about growing up. These are the lessons that I was taught and I frequently fail at all of the time. And Wesley goes on, he says, I'm amazed at those parents who think that they can never leave their children enough. We have to save up just so we can give our kids abundance. But that's not the point, Wesley says. This week I read a story about this young girl. Her name was Osceola McCarthy. She wasn't born to wealth. She was born in 1908, the same year my house was built that I grew up in Lexington. But she was born in Mississippi, and her mother was a cook for a family in another town. But when she was young, her mother taught her about saving money. And so when she got big enough to iron, she ironed other people's clothes so she could earn a little bit of money. And she started to save that money as she earned it. She had to quit school in sixth grade to take care of her aunt, and she never went back. She never married. She never had children. She never even owned a car. She washed and she ironed other people's clothes for 74 years. Before she died, she had saved enough to set up a $150,000 scholarship. She never got an education, but she recognized that she wanted other girls to get that education. And so she saved her whole life for that one purpose. And she gave an awesome gift. This is what we are called to save for. One of the things that I have recognized in working in the church, the people who are often the most generous, the people who are often able to give the most and to help the most, are often the ones who live by Wesley's three simple rules, who are able to earn. They may not be wealthy, but they earn in healthy ways, but they also save. And they think about every single dollar, and they say, will this glorify God, or is it going to glorify me? Am I going to be like the rich fool in the parable and store up for myself, or will I store up for God? I think that this is an area that all of us have to work on all of the time. Money is a difficult subject to talk about, and it's really difficult for me to talk about because this is an area where I sin all the time. And I think many of us do too. But in the midst of this Thanksgiving season, we have been blessed by abundance. We are wealthier than most people in the world. And God calls us to use our resources to build up God's kingdom. And so sometimes we have to talk about money. Next week, we're going to talk about giving, the final rule of Wesley's rules. And one of the things that I'm going to ask you to do next week is to think about your own personal giving. If you're earning all you can, if you're saving all you can, and also if you're giving all you can. And I'm not just talking about giving specifically to the church, but giving to God's kingdom in God's abundant glory. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for the abundance of blessings that you offer to us. God, talking about money can be hard and difficult. And sometimes, God, it feels like when we talk about these subjects, God, that we often mess up. But God, we ask you to take control over all of our lives, even our finances. God, on this day we ask that we can live by the rules that John Wesley set out for us, to earn, to save, and God, to give, so that we would glorify you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.